And the reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 43 and the verses 18 to 21. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
Thank you. Father God, as we look at your word now, as we start new days with you, Father, make us excited by what you have for us. Lord, speak by the power of your Spirit through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we go into any new year, we have a tendency to take with us things from the past. It's like we shove them all into a big backpack and then we strap it on the shoulders and we set off and we carry all of this stuff. Unfortunately, much of it is really not necessary or helpful and becomes quite burdensome. And it prevents us moving into the year in ways that God, I believe, would have us move. Now, we do that with our traditions, with those things that we find comfortable, that are easy, that we want to stay just as we are because we know where we stand with those things. We do it with our plans and our expectations. We do like to kind of manage expectations, don't we? We don't want things to get out of control. Albeit that inviting God to take control is actually what our faith walk with Him is all about. But we also do it with our anxieties and with our failures. And those in particular have a tendency to become burdens, which can become so heavy we can barely move one foot in front of the other. And we can find ourselves paralyzed by all the things that we are carrying. I don't believe that God wants us to be so burdened, so disappointed with the way life is working out, or to be imprisoned by things of the past. And today's reading invites us to move on from the past, to focus our faith on the future and on a future that God has for us. Now, I know we've looked at this passage before, but it's come to me from a number of sources in the last few days. So I was prompted to get back into it again. And I wonder if it is possible that as when we look at a passage like this that is quite familiar, we take the view, well, maybe it's not for me. You know, this is God doing his big God stuff, and you know, I'm not really a part of that. So I don't need to pay attention to that. But this passage says, behold, I am doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And it wasn't just announced by Isaiah all those centuries ago, because it was something he was doing on that day. He was announcing something that was to come in Jesus. That has been an ongoing event ever since. In these final days, which are the days in which we find ourselves, that have been the final days for 2,000 years now. And God is doing that new thing. in his kingdom, in his church, in his people, among us. The passage speaks about his chosen people. He's doing a new thing, and we are a part of that. And I wonder how aware we are of that as we go into 2024. He's doing it every day in us. If we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because that's when the promise comes that he lives within us, the living God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. That's the God who is about this business. It's what he does. He does new things in us. And my question to us this morning is, are you open to that? Are you ready? Are you expectant in 2024? Are you attentive to what he is doing? Have you got your hands outstretched, ready? Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm right here. Some of your prayers earlier in our service said that's precisely what you're ready for. Are you ready? Or are you just going to strap on that backpack and take all the old stuff and expect things to work out just as they always have and stay in that little groove? Here's the thing about God. He's God. He's beyond space and time. He's not confined or restricted by the calendar that we operate in. He's not restricted by the events that you have got planned or that other people have planned for you. He is God, and he's inviting us to say, I am doing a new thing, and do you know that I'm there with you? There is a season waiting for us this year in which God wants to do new things in you and in us. Because God doesn't live in the past. He's not just the God of a history book. He's the God of the living word that speaks to us. He's the God of today and tomorrow and eternity. And he does not want us to live in the past, because he is doing something new in Jesus today. Are we ready? Are we looking for it? And here's the interesting thing. As he makes this declaration, he does something unusual that doesn't often happen in scripture. He pauses and he asks a specific question, a surprising question. And he says, do you not perceive it? He's asking, are you aware of this? He doesn't want us to brush over this. This is just God's word and we read it and that's nice. Let's move on. No, he's saying, do you perceive it? I need eyes to perceive, a heart to believe, hands to receive. These are active things. And the question for us, I believe, at the start of this year, is that we're going to be active in looking for God to do his new thing within us. He's saying, have you got your eyes open? Are you paying attention? That's why I started our service a little different this morning, differently. Did you notice our prayers at the start of the service, that invitation to put your hand in the hand of God? We paused to be still, to recognize God's breath of life in us. Did you pause? Did you just give that moment of invitation? Lord, me too. Just pause, Lord, for you. That's the question that I want to ask this today. It's what I believe God wants to challenge us with. Are we paying attention, or are we going to get into yet another year, stepping our own out into our own little bubble, backpack on, embracing and carrying all those burdens without inviting him to lift them for us. Perhaps that's why this section begins with a warning in verse 18, not to dwell on the past. A couple of reasons why it isn't good to dwell on the past. The past can blind us to the future by keeping us distracted or restricted to things that have gone before, to our past experiences and plans and expectations, things that we've seen before. I don't want to offend you, but your experiences, your plans, and your expectations are nothing compared to what God wants for you and imagines for you. I was reminded of what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus, his opening greeting to the church, chapter 1, verse 3. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's not a little bit. That's not limited expectations. With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that's the invitation for us to know this morning. Are you up for that in this year ahead? Because I truly believe that's what God wants. He wants to do a new thing with you. If I could take a little aside to give a practical way to help that process, and maybe set this in your mental diary as something, a to-do, as you start this year off. Three chapters later, to the same church in Ephesus, he wrote these words. Paul says, God gave us the apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, whole list of roles. Yep, he's talking about the church, the people that that's made up in the church. That's his gift to us. He gives us the church. For what reason? This is verse 13 of chapter 4. To build up the body of Christ. That's you, me. To build us up until we attain all the fullness of Christ. Are you there yet? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. But we're working on it. We are a work in progress. So he's given us the church to help us get to that place, to know the blessings, the fullness of Christ. Wow. That's the year I want to be stepping into. That's what I want his church to be stepping into, so that we can have this impact on all the people around us and impact the world and society around us. Are you up for that? But it means the church being the blessing that God has gifted it to be for you. And that means we need to turn up. Can we make that commitment at the start of this year? Maybe to do something new, invite God to speak in new ways. Let me share something with you. Simple little thing. Do you know, for the last few weeks, for a month or so now, Lorinda and I have been hearing about birds that have come into this country that we'd never seen before, short-eared owls. I think I might have mentioned it before. And so we've taken a few opportunities to go to places like the Naze in particular, and other areas that are Aberton, around in various places. A large number have come to this country this year to see. There's an opportunity to see this bird that I've never seen before, a short-eared owl. And we've gone on Saturdays on a number of occasions in the hope of seeing something. Well, yesterday, the sun was shining, so we just jumped in the car and said, come on, let's do it. And we nipped out for an hour. Let me share with you what we saw. Isn't he beautiful? One short-eared owl that displayed for us, flying up and down, and was just glorious. But here's the thing about being able to see this glorious scene. We had to be there. We could go to the Nades, we could go to other places we had done in the past, and there are no guarantees that we would see anything. But one thing I can absolutely guarantee, if I'd stayed at home and watched TV or done something else, I guarantee 100% that I wouldn't have seen it. God invites us to be part of something amazing. And he's gifted as a church. And guess what? He's gifted you to be part of the church. What can we do this year? So that was just a little aside, but it seemed fitting to bring that in. Let's not stay with the expectations of the past. Let's turn up. And the second thing about how the past can restrict us is the past can make us prisoners to its shame and its pain. We say to ourselves, oh, I've really messed up. I've really done something stupid. I've let someone down. I've let God down. There's no way back from this. And we beat ourselves up and we carry that into the days ahead. And that's not what God has for us. Actually, Jesus was in the business of seeking out people for whom others would think, well, you've got no chance, mate, like Zacchaeus. He didn't think he was worthy, but he was curious. And he went looking, and Jesus came to him, stopped, looked into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. Is that what God wants to say to us today? Time to put the stuff of the past that has restricted us and put it down. I believe he wants us to feast with him this year. Do you think perhaps that some of those things are things that have never changed, you're really battling with? They're the kind of wilderness areas of your life that you don't like to think about. But look again at the passage. It's worth noting where he promises to work. It's in the wilderness, in the desert, in the dry places, the difficult and forgotten places in my life, the areas that we may have given up looking for life and a future. Those are the very areas where he wants to plant seeds of hope. It's into those areas that his living waters come. And again, notes from the passage. It's not just a trickle of water. It's not even a stream. It's a river that he wants to pour into the desert. That's our God. Into those dry areas where we keep bottled up, the failures, the shame, the being unproductive. On Wednesday of this week, the leaders met. And as part of our gathering, we were thinking about some of these things. And one of the leaders pointed out what Jesus' calling had said on that very morning. Let me read just a bit of it to you. From Jesus' calling, because I am your constant companion, there should be a lightness into your step that is observable to others. Do not be weighed down with the problems and unresolved issues, for I am your burden bearer. In the world, you have trials and distress, but don't let them get you down. I have conquered the world and deprived it of power to harm you. In me, you may have confident peace. Do you have confidence and peace in God to take you through the things you're struggling with this year? Do you want this year to be better? Now, that's not a rhetorical question. That's a real question. And if the answer is yes, let's do something about it right now. Let's act on it together with God now. Just for a moment, we need to take a moment. Think of the baggage that you've been carrying around, or maybe even accumulated in 2023. What are the stresses and strains that you've been struggling to put down? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, prompt you. What have been the constant burdens, the shame, maybe the anxiety? I believe the Lord wants to invite you right now to let Him help you. Why not make a decision to leave those things behind? Not to take the stress and the anxiety of them with you as you step into 2024. So I'm going to pray a really simple prayer. You want to just close your eyes if they're not already. And just pray this prayer with me and just add your amen at the end. Father God, we recognize you are our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus, we have redemption. You offer us a new beginning. Lord, I put my hand in your hand this year. I trust you. And so I leave behind those burdens, those unhealthy practices, and I ask you to replace them now with new hope in what you want to do in and through me this year. Amen.
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 Just rest in that prayer that you've made just for a moment. If hand on heart, you have just invited God to act in an area of your life that you've struggled with and has held you back, know two things. First, God has heard you. And two, He is faithful. Just rest in those things. Thank you, Lord. Of course, we're not alone in going through struggles. Just think about others for a moment. Who else has had a particularly tough year in 2023? Invite you just to picture them for a moment. Let's pray for them too. Father God, we ask you to put your hand on the lives of these people in our minds who've really struggled this year, this past year. We ask you, Lord, to plant seeds of new hope in the wilderness of their situation, and to put a new song in their heart in 2024. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. So let's just consolidate that for a moment, thinking about what we've prayed, particularly for ourselves, the new thing, inviting God to do something in us. I'm going to just read the passage to you again, a slightly different version, but just let the words speak to you. Maybe ask the question, what is the wilderness for me? And what might God's new thing look like in my life? Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the owls, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Wow. Lord, do a new thing in us that we may bring praise to you this year. Rivers in the deserts. Amen. Just before I move on, do you remember the family that we reflected on at the end of last year? Do you remember on Christmas Eve, we were thinking about that remarkable woman, a relatively uneducated woman, mother of 17, Susanna Wesley. Remember her? Well, let me take you to a moment at the start of another year, some nearly 300 years ago, where her children were involved in God doing a new thing. It was on the New Year, it's on New Year's Eve in 1738, and John and Charles Wesley gathered with friends in Fetter Lane, London, to pray in the new year. Now, you think things are difficult for us at the moment. England at that time was undoubtedly a spiritual wilderness. Very few in its population attended church. Injustice was rampant. Violence was everywhere. Alcoholism was endemic. The slave trade was in full flow. And there were just five Christians in Parliament. But these godly men and women believed that God promised to do a new thing, and they committed themselves to earnestly seek God for it and be attentive for it. And so they got together on New Year's Eve and they prayed. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you think our prayer times are too long for you to cope with. At 3 in the morning, God did a new thing in this wilderness. Suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on this group of godly people so powerfully that John Wesley recorded in his journal, many cried out for exceeding joy. Don't we need joy this year? And many fell to the ground. Don't want too many falling physically to the ground, but spiritually, yes. This moment sparked a movement that transformed things. It ignited what we now know as the Great Awakening. And across Britain and Germany, across the British colonies, revival came. Church numbers increased. People flocked to meet the living God. Religious observance was transformed into a deep spiritual desire and experience of God. The churches were repopulated. The Methodist movement was born. Ultimately, society was transformed. Justice was impacted. The slave trade would end not that long afterwards through godly people having their influence. Free education was made available to the poor in this nation. God poured out his spirit and did a new thing. Here's some questions for you. Do you believe that our world and our society today needs the touch of God's grace, his love, and his justice? Do you believe that God is continuing to do a new thing? And do you make yourself willing for him to use you to be part of this new kingdom thing that he does in our church, in your life, in his people, with his people, and through his people? And if your answer to those questions is yes, then join me as we make a corporate prayer, as we make a bit of a declaration and commitment to God at the start of this year with the words of John Wesley's covenant prayer. I'll put the words on the screen for you. Join in with these words as I read them out. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.